Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to another edition of Something's Brewing. How's everybody doing? Episode number 25, quarter of the way to 100, dare I say quadricentennial. Producer Dan, did you know what that is?
No.
It's Latin for 25 years.
Gotcha.
You know, bicentennial, quarter centennial. Of a
right, sure.
Yeah, you get
right,
it?
There you go.
So very excited for number 25. It has been a little time since we've been in the studio. Got a lot to cover.
Yeah.
A lot to cover in very little time. So let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
Okay. This episode brought to you by Organized Chaos Clothing, a lifestyle brand for our way of life. We got so much to cover today, and I really don't have a favorite number 25, but if I was going to give an honorable mention out, it would be for Barry Bonds and Mark McGuire, two guys that don't like steroids.
I don't know about that.
But those are the only two notable 25s. Before we get into the sports recap and my international travel recap, oh, and pop culture recap. I do want to say a couple things about space travel, though, Dan. As you know, we can't go an episode without talking about space travel. What is it? I know this.
Space, the final frontier.
Love it. Love it. Okay.
All right,
so in 2020, you're going to be able to go to the International Space Station for approximately $35,000 a night. But there's I can't really tell exactly how much the entrance fee is. It's anywhere from $20 to $50 million. So we're not going to be able to.
Oh my God! Yeah. Wait a minute. So you can get there, but then you can't get in unless there's a door charge.
There's a down payment that's required.
Gotcha.
And then it's about $35,000 a night. So, but they're going to make you have to pass the same physicals that a real astronaut would have.
Oh, well,
have.
Forget it then.
So my point is I'm not making it in 2020, but I'm going to wait until, again, the price comes down and there's an actual Hilton on the moon.
Yeah, do they have gravity at the space station?
No, it's in space. So,
that's going to be bad for tourism. Tourists need gravity.
Of course. I don't know if you followed this, saw this since in between shows. So Trump's doubling down on Mars, except we're still not going to the moon, except Harry Reid, you know, the old senator, used to be the majority leader in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So he earmarked almost $25 million, I believe, in 2012 for investment in UFO sightings. So spent $25 million, and it's been a while since.
Yeah.
But you can now find multiple people in the higher ups in the government that there's no question there's UFOs, and so now he's trying to declassify it because the taxpayers spent $25 million.
Right.
So he wants us to all at least get a little bit of a look into what the $25 million got us.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting because, again, we can't go another show without it. So let's move the chains into the sports recap. I don't know if you watched the women's softball College World Series, Dan.
I did. Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then you probably would have saw that UCLA won another national championship in walk-off fashion. Was super exciting. You know, one of the only sports Brooklyn's really into right now is a little bit of softball. So we watched it together.
Right?
Yeah.
Aww,
it was cool. We had a nice moment for national championship number 118 at the Bruins.
Wow.
And also in my research, I've been sitting here bragging about how the Bruins have the most national championships because we were the first ones to 100 years ago.
Okay.
Well, now we're behind Stanford at one. They got 122 or 123.
They do?
Yeah, and I had no idea. And I've been talking a lot of shit.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
So in regards to UCLA, we're getting close to fall camp for football. We're not going to talk football yet, but the UCLA baseball team was ranked in the top five pretty much the whole year. They got upset, didn't make it into the college, into the later rounds of the College World Series. So shout out to Vanderbilt for beating Michigan. And then, I don't know if you noticed, but the women's soccer team, United States Soccer, is playing in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I got to say this. Then the first game, I forget who they were playing, they won 13-0.
A soccer game?
Yeah. I thought that was a little much.
God.
You know, I mean, and hey.
Take it easy.
Like, can you put the third stringers in there?
Yeah.
Like, as if the rest
13-0.
As if the rest of the world doesn't have enough of a problem with the United States. We got to throw out the, you know, the World Cup stage and win 13-0. But in the first round, you know, the round robin, the qualifying round, we were 18-0 in goals scored and 34-4 in shots on goal.
Oh my gosh.
We beat France to 2-1 in the quarterfinals. And did you see that story about the French reporter asking a couple of our players the press conference before the USA France game?
No.
All right. So this French reporter, nice little young lady, says, "So I have a question for you, and you have to forgive me, but I'm French. So I was wondering, would you let us win?"
She really said that?
Yes. one of the players, I forget her which one it was, she goes, "Is that a serious question?" And the lady's like, and she just kind of, everybody laughs, and the player just goes, "No."
Yeah, no.
Moves on.
Yeah.
We're playing England on July 2nd.
I imagine they have a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about a little bit.
Ooh, on July 2nd.
Exactly. We're going to hit on July 2nd later as we do a preview of the 4th of July.
Yeah.
So we'll get to a little more on July 2nd later. The French Open in tennis, that was happening during our last episode. So Roger Federer, my favorite tennis player, arguably my top three favorite athletes of all time.
Whoa, really? Federer?
Yeah, was playing awesome, made it to the finals again, and got smoked by Rafael Nadal again. You remember that's the guy that he's Spanish. He's the guy that picks his butt every time he serves. Didn't we talk about that a couple weeks ago?
I feel like I would have remembered
that. He's got a nervous twitch.
Oh, it's not like a psych-out thing for the other
I don't know what it is.
Like, I just picked my butt.
He picks his butt before he serves every time.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you know what?
We have ointment for that here in the U.S. Yeah,
you know, and I've been giving our oldest daughter a hard time. She's starting to do the same thing.
Right.
And, like, do you need
she's
a different
emulating size? Your sports heroes.
What's going on here? So I just, every time I see her do that now, I think of Rafael Nadal, but... Wimbledon is coming up next. Great,
It's that time of year.
Yeah, great tennis tournament, and I would imagine that Federer is going to come back. And he, I mean, the guy is getting older. And when I say getting older, he's still in his early 30s. But
is he really?
Yeah, he's still competing at some of the highest level of tennis that you could possibly do, and it's just awesome to watch.
Yeah.
And he's the attitude of most 99% of tennis players is an attitude that I think should be emulated by every kid that plays sports. It's just a level of respect and professionalism that I can appreciate. Speaking of professionalism, just kidding. Let's move on to the NBA finals. So did you see the story with the minority owner of the Golden State Warriors who got in big trouble for pushing Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors? Did you see that?
You know, I heard a little. I didn't see it. I heard a little bit about it, but I'm still not clear. So
okay,
so Lowry is what is happening? He's falling into the
goes into
seats?
Like the first row of the seats.
Okay,
and he bumps into this minority owner and his wife, and this guy. When I say he gave him a push, I mean that he was trying to get out of an elevator and politely asked, "Do you mind if I go
beside you
so I can get off
kind
the
of
elevator?"
Tap him on the shoulder. This is my
but
floor.
It, but it definitely, you could see his the way his body language was when he did it. It was the silliest, weakest push right. you've ever seen. Well, they don't mess around, okay?
Hmm.
He got fined $500,000 for that.
What?
Little push.
Oh, my God. No, wait a minute. A 200-some-odd-pound man is falling on him.
Right.
He's getting in this little, like, butterfly push.
He didn't need to push him, though. I think that was
is
the
that
point.
What it is?
And,
yeah.
And the other reason he got fined is because he's an owner. So, there's a fine. There's a strict. We'll talk about owners right. in a second here. But
interesting. So, I mean, do you feel – you saw the push?
Yeah.
So, was it a don't sweat on my suit push? Was it a, I'm helping you get up push? Like what it, – how would you characterize
that's
the motivation?
Good question. I would characterize it as this. It's a guy that probably would be a complete nobody if he wasn't worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
A tech, you know, genius.
Oh, gotcha.
Complete loser that at that particular moment, something – a synapse in his brain – misfired,
right.
And he acted like he was a 12-year-old, 13-year-old.
Right.
You know when you're a kid and you just kind of give somebody a little push that's not necessary right. in a right. game or in a school or right. something like that? That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. And except he was on camera. And
then
he
could see right after he did it, he sat down as if he just got hit in the hand with a ruler by the nun. And
oh, and he got hit in the hand by the nun.
$500,000 ruler.
Yeah.
And he's not allowed to go to the games next year.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's probably that's going to hurt him even more. But okay, but in but let's make sure we're on the same page. I know that the Golden State Warriors had some injuries, you know, Durant ended up really getting hurt. They weren't at full strength, but the Raptors played fantastic. They had and they deserved to win it. Kawhi Leonard we talked about Kawhi Leonard
yes,
when I saw him
did.
At the Brooklyn Nets and yeah. just his physicality and how great he looked. They won. It was awesome to see. I was happy for them. They brought the first NBA championship to Canada. So
yeah.
Kudos to them.
Kudos to them. Embarrassing for us.
They had over a million people show up for the celebration.
Wow.
There was a shooting at that celebration, though, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
There was?
Yeah. Four people got injured. They're not calling a terrorist shooting, and I keep trying to look to see if it's going to come back up and do some follow-up. Mm. They say they caught the people. They're not releasing a lot of information. Something smells fishy. But
so what, they think a couple guys snuck in from the U.S.
Who knows?
Guns, or, yeah. Like, what's
I hope to God it wasn't somebody from the U.S. But
I think someone just shot a gun, eh?
Well, I just think if there was a shooting at the Chicago Bulls celebration, I mean, look at the Jesse Smollett case, for God's sakes.
We talked about that for 6 months.
And every 2 weeks you're getting an update.
Yeah.
Right? Like people shot at a celebration and you can't find anything about
that's
it.
That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's Canada for you. Okay. Another thing that happened last week that in regards to the NBA, did you see that they are no longer allowed to call the owners owners?
Could you repeat that, please?
Exactly. So that's how much power the NBA basketball players have. And it obviously, I mean, well, maybe not so, obvious. So it.
So you're not allowed to.
It's an insinuation that if you're an owner, that means you own me, similar to the way a master owned slaves during slavery. So they are acknowledging it, mm-hmm. and they are no longer allowed to publicly be called owners.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, they're calling them governors, which
oh really?
In my opinion,
hello, governor.
Hey, governor. So
I used to own the team, yeah, and now I'm the governor.
It sounds, and to me, it sounds even governor sounds even more old fashioned.
It does,
and more racist, in my
right.
opinion.
Yeah, but so so
anyway.
But don't they own the team? Like as a concept, as a company.
Well,
that's like saying. I don't want Bill Gates to be called the owner of.
I know.
Although I don't know. If he's
I know.
The owner, but you know what I mean, like.
We're
the team is a company. It's
we're going
to
talk a little bit about the Democratic debates later. But it's just
that's
as
wild.
Obvious about how your culture and how our country has changed from a politically correct standpoint.
Hello.
If you own the team, you're not allowed to be called an owner. You're now called a governor. Anthony Davis, one of the best players in the NBA, got traded to the Lakers. So the Lakers may become relevant again. There's maybe one or two more years for the Lakers. So LeBron got his way. He got Captain Eyebrows. You haven't seen Anthony Davis, but his nickname is something Eyebrows because he's got a unibrow.
It's just right over.
It's amazing. And I can't believe he's never gotten rid of it. He must like it. But so that's going to be a lot to watch. The NBA draft happened, and there was not enough happened in the NBA draft for us for my research and my time to actually talk about it, except for this.
Oh, dear God.
The clothing that these guys wore.
Are you serious?
Was out of this world.
What are we talking? Are the 90s back? Like
I can't even tell if the 90s are back, if the Jetsons are back. There was a guy that had a Yoda outfit on. It looked like a tailored suit that Yoda would wear.
What?
One guy had Spider-Man like web design all over the place. And then you know how if you've
trick or treat.
Yeah, exactly. Is it Halloween or the draft? So but have you noticed the style that's been happening lately with younger generation where their pants do not go all the way down? They're higher up. So it looks like in case there's a flood, their pants won't get wet.
Yeah.
Well, the NBA players, it's amplified because none of them are 5 foot tall.
Right.
Yeah, so you got a 6 foot nine guy that's got 4 inches. His pants are four inches from the bottom.
Right.
And then he's also, he's got another 6 foot six above him.
Right.
So it's just amplified. You're like, dude, his pants are really.
Okay? What's happening?
Yeah. It's like one of my favorite. Can you remember the movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Remember
sure.
that with Johnny Depp?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a book, right?
Yeah.
It's a family.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
So I read the book and then I watched the movie. And one of my favorite lines in the movie is when he's getting to the, and I'll get to the point of how I'm connecting this. You'll see.
I trust you.
He's walking into the bathroom, if you remember that scene, and Johnny Depp's just started to trip out. And the floor of the bathroom starts filling up with blood.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone makes a comment like, dude, are you okay? And Johnny Depp just says, boy, no, I need some golf cleats to insinuate he needs to be higher. So one of my favorite stand-up jokes, which is you and I have talked about it, I guarantee, I know I didn't make it up, but I don't know who did.
Right.
And I just use it as to like make myself feel more comfortable.
Sure.
Which is I'm going to need everyone in the room. I'm going to need you to be like a midget at a urinal and you're going to have to stay on your toes. You get it?
Yes.
All right. So
I have never heard you say that.
So the style was, I could not get over it. It was shocking.
Yeah.
Really shocking. The NFL draft was just the first round of shock factor with what these guys are wearing.
Really?
But the NBA guys took it to a whole new level. All right. One more thing on the NBA before we move to the NHL. So Kevin Durant, I just read a couple hours ago, by the way, what is today? The date is almost...
Not the first.
Not the first.
It's
tomorrow
the first.
The day before
the first.
Okay, yes. So it's Sunday, June 30th.
Okay.
All right, so it's Sunday, midday, Sunday, June 30th. I just read that Durant might sign with the Nets, which shows you that Jay-Z... So he's going to kiss the ring with Jay-Z. Kyrie Irving looks like he's going to kiss the ring with Jay-Z. You know Jay-Z, the music.
I've heard of him. Yeah,
yeah, he's kind of a big deal.
I guess his wife is famous too or something.
Yeah. There was another deal with the Golden State owners about how one of the Golden State owners' wives.
Governors.
The Golden State governor's wife was trying to flirt with Jay-Z. And this poor lady was not flirting with Jay-Z. I think she might have said, hey, can I get you a beer when I go to the frickin' concession stand?
Right.
Or the VIP area?
Right.
And Twitter blew up that she was flirting with Jay-Z. And this poor lady, I mean, poor lady, this really wealthy lady.
Right. Who were
had
feeling
to,
sorry
had to, like,
for
shut
a
down
moment.
Her, shut down her Twitter account and everything because.
Oh my.
The Beyonce trolls attacked her.
Wow.
And she literally shut her Twitter down.
Wow.
For asking Jay-Z if he wanted a beer.
Right.
Anyway, nice. So Jay-Z is an owner. Governor.
Governor.
Yeah.
Governor Jay-Z.
Yeah, I wonder if Jay-Z's over there saying, fuck that.
I own this team.
Yeah, I own this team. Get out of here. Anyway, so he's going to pay Durant close to $36 million a year.
Ooh.
And who knows? Maybe the Nets will be make it back. That'd be cool. It's not like, you know, the Nets haven't done anything yet, but maybe they're going to be the new Knicks. I feel bad for people in New York. Moving on to NHL. So you remember... A long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. We talked about the St. Louis Blues winning the NHL, the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
See there?
And a great
Place
story.
Place your bets, everyone. Yeah, okay. Well,
yeah, thanks. I love your transition words. So a random blue-collar guy from St. Louis who is a huge St. Louis fan, huge St. Louis fan, very rarely goes to Vegas. He was in Vegas at the beginning of the season, and he noticed that there was a 251 odds for the St. Louis Blues to win the Stanley Cup. He said, you know, I don't come to Vegas very at all. He's not a gambler. He doesn't gamble on his phone every day like I do. And he puts $500 on.
No.
Yeah.
At what? 250 to 1.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So let me do the math really quick, wow. But I think it's a lot.
I can't do that, man.
So Face ID.
We're really doing this
calculator.
Right now.
I just want to make sure. You know how my numbers are off? Fine. So.
So what was it? 250 times what?
125 grand. That's a multiple gamblers tried when it first started, and they had won a couple games, but then they lost. Multiple gamblers reached out to him and offered him upwards of 70,000 to buy the ticket for him.
Is that right?
Yeah, so he could have hedged his bet. But he said, I'm not going to do it. I've been a Blues fan my whole life. So that was their first time they ever win the Stanley Cup, too. So can you imagine?
Wow.
I don't remember this guy's name, but he's a local suburban guy from St. Louis. Can you imagine how cool that guy is with the rest of his longtime faithful St. Louis Blues friends?
He is never going to pay for a drink ever again.
Or he's paying for everything from now on.
Right.
But I just think about how cool that must be for someone that you could clearly tell he's not wealthy at all.
Right.
You know, and how awesome that must have felt.
Wow, dude.
How awesome.
Well done.
Anyway, okay, so.
The faith.
Yeah, so I thought that was a really, really cool story. On the golf front, so the U.S. Open was in Pebble Beach, and Brooks Koepka, who, you know, is my favorite.
Sure.
He was going to win. He probably should have won, except he ran into the Gary Woodland train. Mm-hmm. And this guy had a great 4 days of golf. And I liked the way his style was. He had, you know, American flag golf cleats. And he just it seemed like he had a great attitude. Both Brooks and this guy, Gary Woodland, have great attitudes. Love that. And turns out the guy played college basketball first.
Basketball.
Yeah, so he was a Division I AA basketball player before he went to Kansas and played Division I golf.
What the?
I know, and I'm thinking, Jesus, that's pretty impressive.
Talk about different sports. That's nuts. Except for putting a ball into a little,
and you don't even know how to play either one of them.
No, I don't.
You know, you don't even know how the rules work.
I do know how to dribble.
So
but that's what I'm.
So the Open.
The Open.
It's going to start on July 18th. Looking forward to that because some of our international travel is going to hit onto that a little bit. The Open is in the UK every year.
Yeah.
One more sports recap before we get to pop culture. 151st Belmont Stakes, the last leg of the Triple Crown horse racing. You know, we mentioned some of that. So it's the test of a champion because it's the longest Triple Crown race. So Sir Winston won. 100 years after a horse named Sir Barton won.
Really?
I thought it was kind of cool.
Wow.
I had War of Will, the horse that won the Preakness. That horse did not win. There has been a handful of more deaths at Santa Anita, but from what I've read, they're keeping Santa Anita open. Remember, that was the one where I went to the Santa Anita Derby with the owners? All right, so done with sports, moving the chains into pop culture. So have you noticed a little bit about how the Dominican Republic has gotten some bad press lately?
Yeah, what's going on?
All right, well, first, the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, are going to start investigating the fact that there's been close to 10 deaths by Americans in the last, just this year alone, that no one can explain.
No, just sort of, they died.
Well, one actually, she says, and then another lady got full on, dropped in a sewer for death, and she survived.
Oh.
That was also Dominican Republic, if you read that one. And then she tried to blackmail the company for like $2.5 million.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but they said piss off, and then she released a story. Anyway, sounds like a pretty bad story, by the way, though.
Yeah.
Basically left it for dead in a sewer. But the reason I bring it up on the tail end of my sports recap is that David Ortiz, nicknamed Big Poppy, big left-handed hitter from the Dominican Republic that played for the Boston Red Sox. Do you remember that guy?
I do. Vaguely.
He's like perfect. He's got his facial hair was cut perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
You know him now?
I think I do, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely would see it. Perfect edges, right? Yeah. And then a nice looking guy. Somebody tried to kill him when he was in the Dominican Republic, and I totally missed
really?
The story. Yes.
Wouldn't he be one, like their hero?
Yes.
You think that'd be the last guy they would want to kill?
I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but apparently Big Poppy might be into some shit. And some guy drove on the back, rode on the back of the motorcycle. It was full on, like, out of the mafia hit
movie.
Oh,
one of those, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so the owner of the Red Sox sent his jet, flew him back, let him recover in intensive care because he got shot in the stomach. He's going to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was, as if the Dominican Republic wasn't getting enough bad press.
Right. No one is
there. You know, their Jesus got shot.
Basically, right?
Okay. Did you see that D-Day, what was the 75th anniversary of D-Day in between our last two episodes? It was on June 6th.
Is that right?
You know D-Day, right?
D-Day, yes.
Big event.
Yes.
In the history of the world.
Big
reason why
war.
We're speaking English.
Yes. Yes, it actually is. Yes, I remember D-Day. Fought in a war.
Yeah, big war.
Through some
Just to put this into perspective, okay, and we're going to talk a little bit more about perspective later. Almost 10,000 allies died in combat that day.
Okay. Wow,
and around 9,000 Germans died. Well, in the course of D-Day, which really wasn't just
really,
one day.
Right,
it was, 72 hours of intense battle.
Chaos, yeah.
Literally chaos. What has there been, 10 movies made about it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's about it. But to put that into perspective, in the whole Revolutionary War that we fought to keep our independence was 7,000 people died in combat during the whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is perspective.
Yeah, right? So, and I actually did think that, political, not getting political, but I thought Trump's speech was actually pretty good for a guy that has a hard time communicating a lot of times. But
did he give a D-Day
address? Yeah, he gave a big D-Day speech. And I actually, because I watch Fox News and I watch CNN and MSNBC every single day, I want to make sure I got everything going on.
Yeah.
And even CNN and MSNBC said he did a decent job. So that's
he must have done a decent
job.
Like, hey.
Which, by the way, did you see the first two Democratic debates this week?
No, I completely missed it. I've heard a lot about them, but I didn't actually get a chance to watch.
Well, you were the only person that wasn't up on the stage.
Well, that's true.
Just kidding. So
it's a big party, but we're all going for it.
So I don't remember the debates last year, or I'm sorry, a couple years ago for the presidential debates. But they're doing, and if they did, I don't remember it. But the first two Democratic debates, they do this thing where they'll say, "Raise your hand if." Okay. So they got 10 people up on stage the first night, and then 10 people on the second night, and they're saying some pretty controversial questions, for instance.
And they're raising their hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all over the board, right? And one of them was, do you believe in the national medicine subsidized by American taxpayers?
Oh, okay. Yes. Gotcha. Sure.
And then they said, do you
and they all raise
their hands.
Okay.
Then they said, do you believe in national health care paid for by the American taxpayers for illegal immigrants? And they all raised their hands. So then fast forward though to Friday morning, and then on Thursday there was a bunch of raise your hand comments where everyone raised their hand, and you would think, oh my God, am I in the Twilight Zone?
Right.
What they just raised their hand for? And that's not again not being the super liberal or conservative, just like, wow, did they just all raise their hand? And I'm right, because Friday morning the New York Post, by no means a conservative publication, the cover of the New York Post, it says, it's got the picture of the guy, everyone, all 10 of them on Thursday, uh-huh. And it says,
oh, with their hands up?
It says, raise your hand if you want to lose to Trump.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good strategy. Is stay as hard, everybody stay as hard left as you can.
Even Biden, he's considered the moderate, he got crushed for some, but if you go back and look at some of the snafus, you know, this
over the years,
the shit that Trump said on the bus about, you know, grabbing women and
all that stuff.
That's like, that was bad, and it always will be bad. I'm sure there's way more that's going to come out. But some of the shit that Biden has said, he got attacked by Kamala Harris about the civil rights stuff. You could tell the guy was uncomfortable. And I would have to ask him and his campaign this. Let me see. Corey Paws could find these clips on YouTube.
In 10 seconds.
In 10 seconds. I'm sorry. Did you guys think that this is going to be out of bounds and that nobody would come after you with some of the bullshit you did in the 70s and 80s?
Yeah.
That was shocking to you? He looked shocked.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, Harris already had T-shirts printed up for something that hadn't happened yet, right?
Genius.
The whole thing was set up.
Right.
She knew what was going to happen.
Smart.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to watch. I can't wait to keep it up. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about international travel.
Ooh.
So first stop since you and I last saw each other was Jamaica, man.
Really?
Oh, and I got to tell you.
Yeah, man.
If you have never gone to a Sandals resort in Jamaica on Southwest.
On Southwest?
On Southwest Airlines, then you are missing out.
Is that right?
So we took a Southwest to Jamaica.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you that don't have a hundred thousands of points on Southwest and a companion pass like I do, a little humble
companion
brag.
Pass?
Oh, yeah, you get to fly. I get to fly. My companion flies anywhere I do for free.
Wow.
It's super cool. It's basically like having a glorified bus pass. But so we flew to Jamaica on Southwest. Did you know that Southwest now flies to, 10 locations in the Caribbean?
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Southwest?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not cheap, but it's still Southwest.
It's still right.
So anyway, we went to Negril, Jamaica, which I love this. I got a picture of it coming in. We got to put it up online. It's called the capital of casual. Huh? Is that not great?
Wow.
So you don't want to go off the reservation much from the beaches, but the beaches is the kids' version of Sandals. You've seen the commercial for Sandals.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I've had the time of my life. Like, isn't that the song that goes into all the Sandals?
I think it is.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. So this, I had never been to a Sandals resort, and it was with my wife, the kids, my in-laws, my brother-in-law and his wife. So, you know, the nice trip, our in-laws take us on a trip every year. So it's great. And, the resort was fantastic. But my mother-in-law, as we were pulling up to this fantastic resort, she reminds us that, remember, like, no tipping. I was told by our travel agent, you do not tip at these all-inclusive resorts. I was like, you know what? I'm not that flashy, but at the same time, I don't go anywhere, I don't know, at a hotel or anything like that without tipping. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So I immediately am feeling awkward because I didn't hand anybody money. 10 people have touched my bags.
Right.
You know, I had no money has changed hands.
Right.
And I kept remembering, don't tip. So maybe first night we're at the bar and I was asking this bartender, I was like, what's the deal with not the tipping? And she says, she gets almost like sentimental and mentions, well, yeah, we're not supposed to take tips, but, you know, people that feel in the goodness of their hearts that it's a good idea will tip us. And I go, okay, well, boy, you're a good salesperson.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what do I do with the money? Because there are cameras everywhere. You can't. She goes, you see this little garbage can where you put the paper from the straws?
you just put it in there?
You just crumple up the money and put it in that little garbage can. And so then fast forward 4 days later, I'm like crumpling up $5 bills and trying to make them in there from the other side of the bar. Right. Like, oh, this isn't obvious.
Right.
But it's such a weird environment so that it's illegal or they're not allowed to take tips except I tipped everybody.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then once word got around that I was the guy that was tipping.
Right.
So then somebody got us a cabana, right? The best cabana.
Mm.
And I said, oh, I'll take care of you tomorrow. I don't have any cash on me. The guy found me the next day, and he saw my kids first, and everybody's bro, right? Bro or mon?
Yeah.
Sure, mon. But then they would say they were kept. My kids would be like, "There, say, have you seen your dad?" And so I'd be gone. I'd take a work call or something. I'd come back, and the twins multiple times said, "Hey, one of your bros came by."
Seriously?
Yeah. Half the people that worked there was my bro.
Wow.
Because they would all come back. I said I would take care of them the
next
day.
And they don't forget that.
No, they do not. But talk about an unbelievable thing for kids. So every night they would have almost like a talent show, if you will.
Really?
Yeah. So they have a talent show and it up on stage. And here's how I would describe it. Okay.
Okay.
Clearly, you know, clearly the people that worked at Sandals were, you know, it was like they're, you know, they seemed as if they were grateful to have a consistent job at, you know, a location, sure, and things of that nature. Well, the people that are in the, you remember the movie Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
You know, the entertainment committee.
Okay.
That's in, Patrick Swayze, his job was to put on a show.
Right, right.
Well, that's what these people did every night. And they had DJs and they had legit talent coming out there doing remakes of
really?
U.S. songs, authentic, you know, original music. There was a Michael Jackson impersonator that looked exactly like Michael did right after he started having the skin disease. So like
really?
Right before his nose got where you could barely see it.
Right.
So right when his skin,
like when he still kind of looked good.
Yeah.
Like normalish.
Just barely good. Like the tour where he had the little curl
coming down,
but he was
sure.
Definitely looked whiter.
Yeah.
Danced exactly like him, but he wasn't good at the lyrics. He did not lip sync well enough.
Oh no, really?
And I thought, man, all you got to do is get that on tight,
that
and you've got Vegas written all over you, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah, he took some great shots and some great video. We'll throw that up there.
Oh my, are you serious?
Yeah. So here's the deal. So Brooklyn got to go up and actually perform, and it's basically a big dance party.
What?
Yeah, but the guy that has the microphone is in control.
Okay.
The DJ is in control.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It was so amazing. And it was almost like everyone that is up there performing, they're like upper echelon of the way they're the coolest people in Jamaica. Like everybody knows that they're super talented.
Right.
It is a big break.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
It was basically open mic night at the Comedy
for the
Store.
Top, right.
In Jamaica.
Wow.
And it was really, really kind of cool and unique to watch. But here's the part that I have to share. So first night we're there, and my wife packed for herself and all the kids, and I packed myself. And we get there, and the first, you know, after the first night, Christine says, I forgot all of the girls' underwear.
Oh.
So we only had, she only brought three pairs. One that they had, the one pair that each kid had on. All right.
Oh dear. Okay.
So next morning, you know, there's no underpants for sale at the hotel.
No.
So I got to go hire a car, and I got to go. First attempt was about 10 miles to the nearest town, where I was trying to avoid the phrase that I will use soon.
Uh-huh.
So I get into town, and it brings me to this store that is boarded up. But it looks like it could be open, but it said it should open at 10, where it's now 11. They
right.
apparently weren't there yet.
Right.
And it says toddler clothes, and it's looks like it's out of a scene from a Wizard of Oz, right?
Oh, jeez.
So that's not open. So we go to another store, and I walk in, I'm saying, girls' underpants, you know, kid, you know, little kid, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, come on over. And they bring out boys' boxers, right, for a 15-year-old, you know, and they lay out 10 pairs of boys' boxers that for
right.
10 years old to 15. I was like, listen, here's $10, all right? I need little girls' underpants. And the one lady goes, oh, you mean girls' panties? And that was what I was trying to avoid, running around local Jamaican towns
right.
saying, hey, you got any little girls' panties?
Right.
So I said, yes, girls' panties.
Yes.
Oh, no, you got to drive 30 miles that way, man. So we go 30 more miles.
Are you serious? Literally 30 miles?
To the next town. And there was probably 5,000 people. It was everywhere. People were everywhere. 100%. I was the only white person there at all. It's a bustling inner island city. And there's a couple different stores. So I just walk in. I'm like, listen, this is going to sound crazy, man, but I need a little girl's panties. And so I get brought right to the section
to the
for
little,
girl's panties.
Yeah, oh, good.
But they looked like they had been repackaged.
Oh,
okay? So I, just in case, I buy one package that looked fine and some little girl's shorts in case I don't find this. Because I still have, I'm not convinced that this is the only opportunity.
Right.
Unless no kids wear underpants in this country, there's got to be another place for little girl's panties. So I finally go to the next place where I should have went first all along.
Oh.
I have the most unbelievable options.
Oh, really?
And I came back with more Jamaican girls' panties than you could ever imagine. But
the dream of every man.
But can you imagine how awkward I felt?
No,
asking
actually,
multiple people, the only gringo.
I want some little girl panties.
Like, right. And I mean, I felt so stupid. And that was the joke when I got back. And I was like, so I'm actually on the phone. This is the last story before I move into our next international travel. Actually, two more stories. So I'm on the phone with the office. I tried to, you know, not do too much work, but I had to do a little bit. So I'm on the phone talking to a couple of the girls I work with, and I'm telling them the story. When I got back, there was a six-pack of little five-year-old underpants on my chair. It said, in case of an emergency,
no.
Which I thought was funny. That was the first time I talked to the office. The second time I talked to the office, it had just rained, and I'm walking on my phone, and I'm carrying a beer, but I was by no means had too much to drink at all.
Okay.
It was still, there was like an early morning rain. I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm acting a little cool on the phone.
Sure.
You know, I'm doing a little bit of the, what's the movie? Like, buy. Well, if everyone's buying, then sell, God damn it. So I was talking a little, I was just acting a little cool, right?
Right,
like
sure.
I was saying, like, how does the deal look? And, well, that's not enough. We need some more rate relief. And then, you know, I'm talking about corporate insurance, making it look like I'm somebody big.
Right.
Fall down the stairs.
Oh.
Full on slip, feet from out from under me.
Oh.
Slice open my arm, bang my head, bang my tailbone, down five sets of steps. It's super loud. My phone goes flying into the foot puddle. It's in 5 inches of water.
No.
Okay. It takes me 20 seconds to get up because I didn't want to get up right away because I was in pain. This poor little girl comes over to me and asks me if I was okay. And I still feel bad. I literally, with a negative attitude, said to her, I am not okay. I just fell down the stairs. My wife heard it. I finally get to her. I limp over to her. I can't find my phone. It's in the bottom of the six-inch foot pool, you know, where you get the sand off.
Oh,
thank God I got the iPhone 10 that's apparently somewhat waterproof. Go over to her, and she can't help but not laugh at me. thank God nothing was wrong. But then fast forward, my brother-in-law, who's an ENT fellow at UCLA, a nose and throat surgeon, he is giving me a hard time because my arm is bleeding, and one of the workers comes by, and he's like, oh, you got to check this guy. He needs help, and he's saying a whole bunch of crazy shit. Turns out it's the manager. So then sees blood everywhere. She makes me go with her to the nurse's office. I have to fill out 6 pages of paperwork. All this liability
hotel
stuff.
Oh,
almost had to get a couple stitches.
Oh,
and,
no.
But my ego I've had some low ego points, all right? I've had all my ego sucked out multiple times. This was pretty high up there.
Really?
From a loss of ego standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. So then finally my phone starts working again, and my phone was blowing up with the two girls I was talking with from the office. And they're, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? It sounded like you fell off a cliff. I finally get
so on. Not only that, but they heard you fall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And of course, they don't believe you. They're like, oh, yeah, too much to drink. I'm like, no, I don't think you understand. I slipped down some slippery steps, and I just signed away my liability life.
Right, right.
So it still hurt. It hurt so bad that I didn't think I was going to be able to get the be healthy enough to go golfing in Scotland.
Seriously.
So next, though, go back home, fly to Scotland for a fantastic golf trip. And was able to play through, but I was
seriously, man.
I was nervous.
Yeah,
and talk about a difference in culture. Okay,
Scotland versus Jamaica.
Jamaica, come home. Our flight out of Houston, we go to from Jamaica to Houston. While we're in the airport in Jamaica, our flight from Houston to LA gets canceled.
Oh,
there's 9 of us.
Oh,
I got me and our family on the next flight out, like 5 hours delayed. My brother-in-law had to go to Nashville. They've lost all of his luggage. My in-laws didn't get home till 1 a.m. We were supposed to be home at 6 p.m. or 6 p.m.
Holy.
We got home at like 11, and then I flew on a 7 a.m. flight the next morning to Scotland.
Oh.
Yeah. So I fly to Newark, and then to go check into the next flight, the red eye from Newark to Glasgow, Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
I get a chance to upgrade to business class, right?
Okay.
And it was $4.99, which is, you know, not cheap. But at the same time, I thought, Are you kidding me?
Right.
For $4.99, I'm going to get to be in a bed that lays down?
Yeah.
I'm going to take it.
Right.
Just because you never know who's going to be sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out the guy next to me, Chinese businessman, and I know he's a Chinese businessman because his phone was in Mandarin. And I look over, we're about to take off, and he's taking off his shoes.
No.
Then he took off his socks.
No.
Hold on. And I thought, what is this dude doing? Is
no.
he literally going to fly? I upgraded to business class, and my neighbor is taking off his shoes and his socks. Well, it turns out the little overnight package that they handed you, mm-hmm. they were promoting the new Spider-Man movie. So he doesn't put them on right away, but, and I'm like, no way. I think I'm texting Christine, like the dude next to me is taking off his shoes and socks.
Seriously. Oh.
But he was putting on the Spider-Man socks that they gave us.
No.
For the overnight.
Yeah. But...
So he's either that much into free shit.
Right.
Or that much into Spider-Man. He wears his Spider-Man socks the rest of the way. I have a fantastic, evening. I drank a little Emergent Z's with a little melatonin to try and fall asleep.
Ooh.
But then I rented Green Book. Have you seen Green Book?
I still haven't seen that.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable movie.
Really?
Fantastic.
Really?
Great. So
hey, you know what I did see?
Which one?
Speaking of Spider-Man, is I saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Mm.
Dude, have you seen that?
No, I heard it's great.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Visually stunning.
Super
okay.
popular, huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's popular.
Yeah. So this guy's got on his Spidey socks.
I didn't watch Spider-Man.
You've got melatonin.
Spider-Man, yeah. But I couldn't fall asleep because I was still in a Green Book. So now it's 2.5 hours into the flight. I'm kind of wide awake. I cried multiple times in that movie.
Yeah, I bet.
And but finally did fall asleep. Land in Glasgow at like 6 or 7 in the morning. Get together with my buddies, and then we headed over to the golf course. And and they were out together without me the night before. And I said, so how was your night? And like, well, you know what? It feels like, an international, when you go to the museum and everyone's like, well, there's a new exhibit in town.
Mm-hmm.
He said he felt like everywhere they went that night, it was as if they walk in and all the Scottish locals would just turn around and attack them as if there was a new exhibit.
Oh, as if they were the new exhibit?
Yeah, there's a new exhibit in town. Right?
You ever see American Werewolf in London?
No.
There's a great scene in there where, yeah, the two American guys walk into the local pub. And just everything comes to a screeching halt. So I'm sure it was,
It's got to be exactly
like
the
that.
Same. So so fantastic golf.
Wasn't golf invented in Scotland?
Yes, it was.
It is, right?
So there's actually local courses in Scotland that are very well kept and awesome that there's an honor box at the beginning that you don't pay anybody. You just put money in the box.
And then you play.
Really? For whatever you think is the going rate.
Wow.
And no one steals.
And the course has been there for 300 years.
And no one steals the box. And the course is beautiful. And the local community, like we have a park down the street, and it would be like that, except you can go play whenever you want. The sun didn't go down until 10 o'clock at night. You can't even go. I can't even go to the park at the Y after 6 p.m.
In
Los Angeles.
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
It's just amazing that and that was my second time in Scotland. I went 5 years ago to basically the same golf course, but I'm definitely in a different place of life. And you were just looking around, and I felt like you were in a book, in a storybook, in a novel.
I bet.
It was just spectacular, and just the pace was slower. So the Jamaican, both were obviously different, right? A Caribbean island and the UK.
Yeah.
But the pace was equally slower and more relaxed in both communities as well. And both have English as their native tongue. But they also all speak a level of English that
right.
I can't understand.
Yeah, English in quotations. Yeah,
you like, literally.
Oh my God!
And it's like so they speak English so fast in their own dialect of English that no one can understand them, which was also fascinating.
Get
by the way,
in my belly.
It's perfect. So I also felt like the fashion, similar to the NBA draft, I thought that the Scottish folks were either way ahead of us, which I doubt, or 20 years
way behind. Yeah. It's always great when you don't know whether to be impressed or feel really sad for them.
So we left the reservation, the country club for one night and went out to dinner and had a very nice dinner. And then we were out at a local pub and sort of just taking on the scene on the river. It was beautiful. And I didn't have any more Scottish pounds left from a monetary standpoint, but I had a $100 bill. And so I was politely asking this gentleman at the bar, if he could give me change for a $100 bill or, And he looks at me like I had two heads. And I said, I'm like, well, I mean, I understand that there's an exchange rate, so I'm happy. I'm not asking for the exact amount. I will pay you just like I would have to pay the currency exchange to exchange money. And I'll give you more than the currency exchange is wanting from me. And he goes, I'll give you £2 for that. Very condescendingly. So I said, you know what, dude? I politely said, I'm sorry, you're going to give me two Scottish pounds for this.
Right. Which is the equivalent of about $5.
So I just looked. So you realize that the exchange rate is more like this is worth 80 British pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know your money is more valuable than ours, but.
But not that much.
But how insulting are you going to be in this particular moment?
Right.
Okay? Because never in a million years, if you came to the United States and said, I have 100 British pounds, can you exchange this for American dollars? And I said, I'll give you 50 cents, cocksucker.
Yeah. Well, and aren't you
a tourist in his city? Yes.
Well, yeah, but also aren't you like a patron of his establishment?
Yes. Well, he didn't own the place, but he apparently was a local that does this to everybody, because I later find out from another person, like, don't listen to that guy. He hates Americans. He's like, well, but I don't think I understand. I'm
dead sexy.
Exactly. That's how I felt. So I just, it was a very eye-opening experience as well that I couldn't believe that we weren't more well-liked simply that I was just trying to give away money.
Yeah.
It wasn't going over well.
Yeah.
But there
is a lot of anti-American whatever.
Yeah. In this particular instance, though, I wasn't expected.
Right.
And I certainly wasn't expecting to get in a fight. I haven't been in a bar fight in 20 years. Right. So got out of there, though, without anything. So now let me go back to the flight. Back home. So I remember I said I upgraded to first class. And so my flight there was about two times expensive than my flight home and about 100 times better.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had multiple layovers. It was just, you had to pay for everything. It was ridiculous. However, I did watch Aquaman. Have you watched Aquaman?
No, I have not.
Holy cow. This movie must have cost $250 million to make. The special effects were unbelievable. I cried at it, too, because of the connection between the son and his mother. But fantastic movie. I refused to watch it multiple times, but I finally said, I'm going to do it because it was on the screen in front of me. A kid was watching it. I thought, that looks kind of cool, that way that the special effects were.
So wait, you're telling me that Aquaman is good?
It was unbelievable.
Really?
It was so good. It's the Lost City of Atlantis.
Yeah, I guess.
It's basically spaceship type of stuff underwater.
Underwater, yeah.
It
all
is
right.
Spectacular.
All right.
But the girl next to me.
And there's a hot woman in it, right?
There's plenty of nice looking people in
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
And the main guy character, he's a big, strong, good looking guy,
whatever.
Too. Yeah. He's actually
He's in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the king of the he was the Dragon Queen's first husband.
Yes.
I forget, why am I blanking on that?
I don't know.
Whatever.
You could make it up and I would believe you.
Yeah. So he was a big guy in that. Anyway, so there's a seat in between us and there's a girl with a Metallica shirt on looking out the window.
In first class?
No, this is on my way back on my second leg of Norwegian Air.
Gotcha.
Nowhere near first class. There was one seat left in first class on Norwegian Air home, and I was checking in the first class thing, and I was going to try and upgrade.
Yeah.
And she said that, and she's like, there's one left. I'm like, well, I'll take it. And there was two Americans next to me checking in, and the guy chimes in. He's like, no, I just gave it to him. And I offered him another 500 cash for the last seat, and they said, no, smart. Anyway, so, okay, she's got Metallica shirt on, and I start chatting with her. Not going to fall asleep yet. This lady, she's an engineer from Guadalajara, so a Latina engineer that has spent the last 2.5 weeks traveling Europe with a Metallica tour. She had this little cool, almost like the black card from American Express. She's part of the Metallica fan club that there's very few members part of, like not the normal fan club.
Yeah, like a real inner circle.
She showed me the pictures. She was behind stage, backstage, every concert.
With them.
Seven of them in a row.
Jeez.
And now she was going home for 2 weeks and she's going to go back to Europe for the final six or seven concerts.
Oh my God.
And I mean, I'm 39 years old. One of my first introductions to the music that I loved was House of Pain. And Metallica.
Yeah.
All right. That was my rap was House of Pain and my
and
hard
rock
was Metallica.
Right.
And she was full on in the mix. It was unbelievable. And I couldn't believe that she took that much time off to follow him around that much.
Yeah.
Like, I want that life someday.
Yeah.
So needless to say, the Metallica girl I felt was made me realize that besides my family, I don't love anything nearly that much.
No way.
And I was impressed.
That's a commitment.
That's fanatical.
Yeah.
Borderline crazy. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I land at home. You know, very late. My flight got delayed. I get home and Christine's like, thanks for getting home, right? The following morning, we go to Great Wolf Lodge for the twins' birthday. Now, you haven't been to Great Wolf Lodge because your kids are older, Dan. But if you've never been, I assume you've never been.
I've heard of it, but no, I've never been.
There's seven in the country.
Yeah.
And it's basically a gigantic indoor water park with serious slides. And it's an indoor facility with giant wave pools.
Jeez, yeah.
Bars. And there's also something called Magic Quest. So they partnered with this game called Magic Quest. So we had gone last year, and we only went to the pool.
Okay.
Now Brooklyn's, a little bit older, and all these kids, I didn't notice wands last time. Now all these kids have wands everywhere.
Magic wands.
Magic wands.
Okay.
So now on top of doing, literally just got home. I've been home for like 12 hours. We're now in an indoor water park, which is fantastic. Except when I was sliding down the slides, remember how I told you I fell down the stairs in Jamaica?
Oh!
My tailbone was killing me. My elbows were hurting. I could only go down the slide on my face, the ones on your tummy. And I had to pull the plug a little bit. I had to go to I went on all the baby slides. Christine went on all the Superman slides.
Sure, yeah.
Do you remember the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember the part where Napoleon went to Raging Waters in San Dimas?
Oh, my
remember?
God.
And how and he doesn't want to go at first, and then fast forward the montage of about 5 minutes later, Napoleon is on every slide.
Right.
Christine was Napoleon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she didn't remember that scene.
Yeah.
Later on, when we got back on Sunday, I had to show her. I was like, this was you.
This is you, baby.
Christine went on 10 times more water slides than
no
I did.
No way.
Yeah. So, but what I did make up for, I helped Brooklyn do this thing called Magic Quest.
Okay.
So I'm asking the guy, and you can buy a plastic wand for $17.99 or a little bit better one for $19.99. Obviously, we bought the $19.99 mm-hmm. one. And then they have toppers that go on top of this wand that are anywhere from $15.99 to $29.99.
Oh.
And the topper thing is one-third the amount of plastic, but somehow the same amount, if not more,
right.
Because the topper gives you extra kinds of powers. So we did get a topper, but not the best topper. So now we got a $35 wand.
Right.
And as I'm paying for the name, it was Brooklyn's Bridge, by the way. We'll get to that.
Nice.
She says, you're paying for the time. And I go, time? What do you mean? She's like, well, you got to pay to, you only can use it for a certain amount of time. And if you need more time, you have to pay more. I go, how long is it going to take us to finish this quest?
Right.
She says, well, on average, most people can get it done in 6 hours. And I said, I'm sorry.
What?
And it says 6 to 8. And I go, what, 6 to 8? 6. Okay, fine. So I don't care if I did it in half the time. You tell me 4 straight hours of playing this game with the wand walking around this hotel? And she said, yeah.
What are you even
and
talking about?
And she said the fastest it's ever been done, when someone knows everywhere, like a teenager that knows where everything is.
Okay.
It's like it's a virtual scavenger hunt. It's
okay.
Actually super, super cool and creative and fascinating. The fastest anyone's ever done it is 2 hours and 45 minutes. And they know where everything is.
Right.
And you have to do like these things where you fight people, fight goblins and dragons and everything.
What the hell?
So there's 4 major tasks. We only got done with one that day.
Oh,
so
I bet.
Well, so then Brooklyn is all bummed out because we didn't win. They called Magi. Like, congratulations, young Magi.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's what all these little characters call you, the little Magi people. They're
okay.
Like, listen, young Magi, there needs to be help in the realm because all of the fern blossoms have been stolen by the evil goblin Dan. So we leave and we're not done yet.
Right.
So Brooklyn has been on my ass for the last couple of weeks to when we're going to graduate and successfully become a master magi. So I drove down there again today,
oh my
played
God.
Another 2.5 hours of it, and we're still not done, Dan.
Oh, my my God.
But we're very close to being done.
Can you at least restart where you ended?
Oh, of course.
You can.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Dan,
okay,
absolutely.
Oh, good.
I would have never done
Thank
it.
Thank goodness. Jeez.
I would have dealt with a crying 7-year-old.
Yeah.
But instead, so it was actually kind of cool. We're very close to finishing. I can't wait to tell you about what happens when it's over. I don't know.
Right.
But there's a ceremony.
But you'll be a magi.
There's a ceremony every day.
Wow.
Okay. I'm pretty – so, but kind of funny. So we're walking by, though, and she was hungry. And I get a croissant sandwich for her, and we're walking, and she's eating some of it. And she just out of nowhere is like, you know those moments where your young kid
yes.
just says something that's so cute? She goes, oh, this young magi was hungry. But with a little bit of an accent, too.
Right.
I thought.
That's worth the $30.
Oh, it was. It was. Well, now I'm into it for plenty more. But
right.
Fantastic.
Oh,
but and let me talk a little bit more about feeling like that. It makes you feel a little young again.
Yeah.
So my wife and I on Friday. So, you know, the twins graduated from preschool, which in case.
Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. For those of you that have preschool graduations that you've attended, you probably feel like I do and think. Wow, that was a preschool graduation. You don't want to make your wife feel bad because she feels super sad because that means the kids are growing up. But at the
right.
same time, you want to say, it's
why are we doing
preschool.
That? Right, exactly.
What are you going to be like when it's high school?
Right. By the way, they're not going to remember today, so let's not get too choked up.
But, you know, you can't do that. You just got to be supportive,
which
I was. So I was so supportive that I said I took her to a concert that night. This was Friday night, Sunday now, for a group called Laney, L-A-N-Y.
Laney.
It's like an indie pop group that she and I both love, and they're not super famous yet, but they're on their way.
I gotta check out Laney.
So anyway, it's at the Shrine Auditorium in downtown LA. Have you ever been there? Super old school venue.
No, my son used to live right across the street from there, but no, I've never been inside.
It's super cool.
Yeah,
okay,
it's real old school.
Yeah, it really
LA
is
theater. Right?
Totally. And as we're walking in, I'm thinking. As we're driving down there in the Uber, I'm thinking, I wonder what the age group's going to be. And she says, I actually asked her. She said, oh, we're going to be the oldest by far. I thought, you know what? There's something about I feel that this is an older, hip group.
Okay.
We were the oldest by 15 years.
No.
Oh, yeah. I was the oldest looking person in the whole concert. And there was probably 9,000 people
including
there.
The security staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, or is this Laney?
This is one of them.
I bought that pillow on the couch 'cause it reminded
this is one of their songs. This is a good one. So, as we're watching, you know, one third of the show, we put it together. We think L-A-N-Y. It's like Los Angeles to New York.
Aww.
And at that moment, she and I look at each other like we just invented fire. You pull up Laney on Wikipedia. And it says,
like, literally the first
started because they wanted to do LA and New York. And I almost asked a couple of the youngsters, or because, you know, it's an over an 18 show. That's when you know you're probably going to a little bit of a younger show when it says over 18. However, do not ever stop listening to pop music, okay? It keeps you young, it allows you. Most of the time, I run around with like 18 to 24 year olds, I feel better about myself.
Yeah.
So, and I figure I kind of like some of their music, so it keeps me a little young. So
sure.
I've written this down as one of the Pashiba Guide to the Universe. It's called Never Stop Listening to Pop Music. All right. Okay. What else? We're almost done, Dan. I feel
Are
like
we?
I can feel that I'm losing some of your energy.
Me?
Yeah. So
no,
not yet.
No,
anyway. Okay. All right.
Where are
you from, Scotland? Okay. So let's move over to Brooklyn's Bridge, where we cross over to the last part of the show, and we hope you stick around because then you're gonna know.
Let's do it.
Take a deep breath, Dan. In.
Okay.
Out. Do you remember your favorite summer vacation as a kid?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can you make it quick?
Very quickly, just that we lived in suburban upstate New York, which is probably a lot like where you grew up. Mm-hmm. Very snowy in the winter and not just...
Hot and humid in the summer?
Yeah, very. And in the summertime, for several years, we would go visit my cousins in Connecticut who lived on the Long Island Sound.
Mm-hmm.
So they lived in a very similar town, except it was worth probably 10 times more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So... we would go there and go to the beach and we'd fish and we'd see rich people and celebrities and everything. And it was just like freaking surreal.
Mm-hmm.
But so for some reason, one, I loved my cousins. So that was always the best. We would drive down, listen to my dad's 8-track player until we got there, hang out for, you know, a week,
Yeah, baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I bring that question up because I felt as if we just did we did the Jamaica trip that I know that the kids are going to remember. But I remember one of the trips I took as a kid was in the old family truckster for a 2-week road trip from Illinois through the West Coast and all over, the Four Corners, and we went to Vegas and, all the way up through, Park City or up through wow. Utah, the beautiful parts of Utah. And I remember that one sort of vividly in my head, besides, the normal every weekend in the summer on the lake. But I remember thinking, my kids are hopefully going to remember some of these great vacations they're taking as a youngster, and also hopefully having the perspective, right? Because on the drive, when we landed in Jamaica, we were driving through some, very poor parts of the country mm-hmm. to get to this fantastic resort. And a couple of times the girls, they were all sitting with different adults. And I heard all three kids in separate times say something like, this doesn't look like a very nice area. And you want, mm-hmm. you hope, and you give that teaching moment of, but you can't really embellish exactly why it's a teaching moment.
Right.
You just kind of have to say something like, how lucky are we? And then hopefully they remember it and it puts it into perspective in the right way, right? So one thing we are doing, as you probably know, 4th of July is coming up, and I'm a heavy into Tahoe on 4th of July. I think it's unbelievable, and I want to continue to have a little bit of that, that unplugging and finding the right balance that I felt like I did a better job than I ever have in my whole life.
Yeah.
In regards to, listen, I got email 24/7. I'm also trying to raise my kids and be present. I get to the emails at night. I put my out of office on. It says, text me if there's an emergency while I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. What else do you got to do?
Right.
But I didn't check the emails as much as I did before. And you know what? Guess what? The world didn't come to an end. And I felt fine, mm-hmm. And again, back to that perspective between Jamaica and the perspective in Scotland.
Right.
Just that whole mentality that I think is very critical. So with that, I want to talk a little about the 4th of July preview. This is America. All right? God damn it. All right. So did you know that?
Talk to me.
The actual date was July 2nd.
What?
Okay, yeah. Multiple reasons why it ended up being it was a first officially signed on the 2nd, but there was two no-shows, so they didn't sign it until the 4th.
Two days later?
Yeah.
Great.
So at the time, 2.5 million people in the United States. I'm sorry, the 13 colonies.
Wow.
And then do you know all the colonies? New Hampshire, maybe. Massachusetts, Rhode Island, the Connecticut colony, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, just for that.
I would not have gotten there.
Did you know that there's 13 stripes in the flag?
I do know that.
So that's one part.
Yes.
Thank you. Good. So far, you're doing all right. You know Yankee Doodle Dandy?
Yes.
You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that it was actually a spinoff, the Brits, the Redcoats, the first version of that song, the beat, was the British making fun of the Americans for how basically trashy we were.
Oh, and so Yankee Doodle Dandy mm-hmm. is a put down of their uniforms and whatnot, their fancy red uniforms.
The tone, right? Our version was stemmed from their version of making fun of us.
So we're a nation of parody songs.
Exactly.
I like it.
So what else? Star Spangled Banner actually didn't come out until 1814. All right.
And I believe, wasn't that based on a
British bar song?
Bar song?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're following out the connection here. We're playing England in the World Cup.
Yeah.
We got a lot. We got a lot in common. Nice. We started this country.
Yeah.
Because we didn't like paying taxes.
That's right.
Wish we'd go back in time a little bit. do you know three presidents have died on July 4th?
What?
Jefferson, Adams, both died exactly 50 years after our Declaration of Independence.
Really?
Yep. And then James Monroe died in 1831. It was basically celebrated. The July 4th was not even a real holiday, an official holiday, until 1870. It didn't become
It's that recent?
Yeah. And then it wasn't a paid holiday until 1941.
All right.
So what else? It was basically celebrated informally until 1870.
Wow.
And at first it was not a point of bringing people together. It mm-hmm. was still a level of division, because in 1776, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, there was still plenty of powerful people in the colonies that didn't think it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
No different mm-hmm. than 49% of the Brits thinking they still want to stay in Europe.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it's like things, they changed, but they stayed the same. Right. All right. So what else? So it was actually fascinating. I felt like I should have known more about the 4th of July, but lots of people died. It was very intense time, as you can probably mm-hmm. imagine, and considering no matter what you can say that is negative about the United States, you can make the argument that that document and July 4, 1776 was the start of arguably one of the greatest countries ever of a civilized planet.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Well, that's why so many people want to come here, for God's sakes.
Well, yeah.
So, exactly. Okay. Do you know that $250 million a year is spent on fireworks?
Is it that much?
Yep. Wow. 28 states allow for the sale of practically bombs.
Yes.
But the other states are very, very critical of the ones with gunpowder. Mm. And actually, Massachusetts, one of the original colonies, you can't buy anything.
Really?
You can't even buy sparklers.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Why is that? They're worried about...
I don't know. Probably somebody burnt their eye or something. Yeah. I don't know. 155 million hot dogs are eaten every July 4th.
As they should be.
There's a 30 for 30 coming out on the Nathan's hot dog
are
contest, by the way. Yeah. So anyway, I'm looking forward. That was a little preview. July 4th is one of my favorite days of the year, as I imagine many others. Hitting up to Tahoe with the kids. We'll do a recap of that. Got a lot of hopefully good stories from that. But
beautiful.
Very excited about that. I know this one went a little bit long, but again, there was a lot to get to, Dan.
That's right. Come on, you were away.
Yeah.
You gotta get caught up.
Yeah, gotta get caught up. And sometimes if it takes a little while to finish it, it's all good. So anyway, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your morning, a beautiful afternoon, or a crazy night. And most importantly, have a fantastic, safe 4th of July. And remember, if you keep a positive attitude at all times, something's always brewing.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle. Caught.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.